Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN. Powered by the National Coalition of Labor, I am Ken Edwards with the National Coalition of Labor. Sitting to my right today is Phil Davidson with the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
No Ed today. I think Ed is out working, or did I say working?
Aha!
I'm kidding.
See how you like it, Ed.
Yeah. Here's how it works around here. Whoever doesn't show up gets bad mouth.
That's kind of true.
Yeah, I know. It is. So it's better for
we
all
had
here
a truce
together.
For a little bit, but yeah. Apparently things have fallen apart.
So you, Phil, did something altruistic yesterday, and that was you participated in what?
There was a hike for hope, which was a hike. There's actually two of them. One of them was in Downers Grove.
Okay.
And this was an effort to raise awareness for suicide prevention, specifically in the construction trades.
Oh, that's nice.
Which we know is sadly a plague in our industry.
No
and
question about
it. I think
it
has one of the highest suicide rates of any profession.
Certainly does.
And so this was a good way for people to come together, exercise. You know, there was obviously support there. There were resources for members to call. And
were they raising money?
Yeah, it was a fundraiser and also just an awareness hike and just to bring people together and kind of help erase the stigma of mental illness, which we know is also a major problem in the construction trades. And I mean, not just there, everywhere, but I think it's particularly acute there when you have a lot of people that just aren't ready to seek help when they're struggling.
So yeah, it still has that stigma,
right.
You know, and we've talked about this, you know, ad nauseum. I'm working with your fund administrator, Brianna, to try and figure out, like, how we can stand something up together. And I know the carpenters are very proactive about it. New York Building Trades just stood up something that did exactly that, addressed it. Ohio operators did one. I mean, people are starting to figure out, like, listen, we can't just buy our way out of mental health.
No.
Right? Because there's all these companies out there that say, you know, we will fix your mental health. It's only $5 per member per month, and three people will use it.
You know? Right. So, yeah.
That's just not the way. It seems like peer support seems to be the best option, in my humble opinion.
Yes. This but, is a,
but kudos
this is,
to you for
this
doing
This is an
that.
Area where you want more options than
yeah.
less.
Good for you for doing that, Phil.
Yeah, and I want to give a special shout-out to our safety director, Al Jatatis, who came out.
Mm-hmm.
He sees this constantly on job sites and is very proactive about it, and so we had special hard hat stickers made up with information for if you are struggling,
good.
You know, scan the QR code to seek help and find resources that are available to you. So yeah, it was a good event.
Also in law enforcement, we see a lot of suicides.
Yes,
unfortunately, we had one of our members not too long ago. I believe he was 28. And he was a member of ICOPS, and you know, he took his own life, and so just. It's terrible, and I will say this, you know, once again, there is always, look, the bad times, the good times don't last forever, but neither do the bad times.
Yes.
Right? So if you're going through it and it feels like it's the end of the world, you know, things will turn around. There are resources. Reach out for a brother union member. It doesn't even matter if they're trained or not trained. Just talk to somebody, because everybody has been through something.
Yes.
Right? So good for you for doing that and bringing attention to that, Phil. It's really, really important. Along those lines of sort of PSA, if you will, Cisco, which is I don't even know what it stands for,
Construction Industry Services Corporation.
Okay.
Don't quote me, it's close to that.
Something like that.
Yes.
A bunch of unions
yes.
that get together and do stuff.
Yeah, workforce development.
So, yeah, so they are having a job fair, and that is going to be held, hold on a second here, that is Friday, July 17th, between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. at Local 134's Hall, IBW Local 134. You might be familiar with them, Phil. Their business manager, Don Finn, is the president of the entire National Coalition of Labor. And that
very
is,
familiar. Shout out to Don.
Yep, and that's at 2722 South Martin Luther King Drive. Yep. There's parking there. It's easy to get to. It's right off of right off of Lakeshore Drive.
Right.
And if you're interested in a career in the trades, go there. A lot of unions right now are putting on, like, just pushing outreach to get folks into the trades. And I'm going to tie this in later with what some of companies and not-for-profits and things like that are also doing in that regard. But look, you know, you want an opportunity to get a good middle-class life. Now is the time to do that. And say what you want about data centers, right? But, you know, they're happening no matter what. Hopefully wind energy comes back and some of the green energy comes back. But there's construction, there's road construction, there's infrastructure. You know, if Trump would stop canceling, you know, some of these programs, there'd be even more work. But, you know, we need mechanics. We need electricians. We need operators. We need carpenters. We need everybody in the skilled trades. So just look, Google building trades fair near me, because, right, we're not only talking to Chicagoland. You know, you and I tend to focus on
everywhere,
on Chicago and Illinois, but it's all over the country
we have openings for 150 carpenters in Omaha, Nebraska right now.
Wow.
Yes.
Omaha.
So to all our Omaha listeners out there,
yeah,
there's going to be a job fair in a couple weeks at our training center in Papillion, Nebraska, which is just outside of Omaha. But yeah, there's,
and I gotta imagine, like, you know, you're making prevailing wage out there, or you're making carpenter money, and that goes a long way in Nebraska.
It's a great job,
right?
Yes,
that's awesome.
And let's not forget about the pension, the annuity,
of course, all the bells and whistles that go with it.
Healthcare,
yeah,
it's a great career. But yes, I mean, there's some area. It just depends on the area, and that's an area that just, it's booming right now, and there's tons of work. So,
Phil, I was in an Uber the other day, and, you know, as always, I shoot the breeze with the driver. And I'm like, you know, hey, what do you do? Is this your full-time job? Blah, blah, blah. And he said to me, very proudly, he's like, I just finished my first year as an apprentice with the carpenters.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, good for you, brother. I mean, and he, you know, he still was like a little, like, you know, sort of shy. And, you know, I'm like, listen, here's the deal. You show up to work early, show up to every class early, go get your hours. And he was 30. And I said, you got 25 more years at least. Go ahead and work. You'll have a great, great career, and you will retire very comfortably.
Yes.
And, you know, try to put some wind under his wings. And I said, and you won't have to drive for Uber anymore, right?
That's a bonus.
Yeah. So that was really cool. He was really, really stoked.
That's great. Yeah. Well, there's nothing you could do better to advance your career than to go to meetings, get involved.
That's exactly right.
Make those connections, find out from your fellow brothers and sisters of who's hiring. I mean, that's...
Yeah, what's going on out there, exactly, in the union world, right? How do I go and upgrade my
car? That's good advice for everybody, no matter what union you're in. Get involved.
Actually, no matter what you do in life, you know, for whatever, right? Just, unless, of course, you hate your job and, you know, you're working just for a paycheck, then just, like, go to work, punch the clock, and go home.
There is that, too.
And then do something else, right?
Yeah.
All right. All right, so listen, we have big news that came out from the United States House of Representatives.
I mean, historic.
Historic.
Yeah.
Right? Like, really, really big news. Ed talked about it on Worker Wednesday, and so we're going to follow up with it and do a quick kind of deep dive. And I promise you, I'm going to talk about this till I'm blue in the face, until this thing passes.
Yes.
So, and we're talking about the Faster Labor Contract Act. So we'll be right back with more of the Workers Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. We talked about, right before the break, that some big news came out of Washington, D.C., and some good news for a change came out of Washington, D.C. You don't see a lot of good news.
Yeah,
can you believe it?
Stop the presses.
Yeah. And by the way, thank you so much. I just got to go back to the war for a second. Really appreciate the war causing inflation to wipe out all of the economic gains that we've had this year.
In 4 months.
So far, right? In 4 months.
Yeah.
Right? Now that inflation's back up.
Up to 4%.
4.2%, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. So thanks, war.
Yeah, that's been great.
Yeah, really, really sharp, really smart.
Keep that in mind, voters. Keep that in mind.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah. Faster Labor Contracts Act. All right. So that was proposed by Josh Hawley and Cory Booker, bipartisan, and
in the Senate,
right? But then the House took it up.
And a union electrician was a sponsor in the House.
Oh, no way.
Norcross.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right. So what happened in the House, right? It's going. It's getting signatures. And there's a couple of Republicans that are going to like, I think we're on board with this thing. And what do they do in the House? They have this magic discharge petition thing that we all learned about during the Epstein files.
Yep.
Right? So you can force a bill onto the floor if you get enough signatures.
If leadership is trying to bury it and doesn't want to call a bill to the floor.
So they got enough signatures.
This is your alternate route to getting a bill called to the floor so you can have a vote on it.
Yep. And so what happened? They got enough signatures. It went to the floor and it passed with 20 Republicans voting yes.
Yeah.
So it was a big, big deal, Phil.
Big deal.
And now it goes to the Senate.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about what this bill does.
Yeah, and let's back up, all right? Yeah. So basically, the bill is named exactly what it is, Faster Labor Contracts Act, meaning let's get to a contract and let's get to it faster than before.
Let's start from the beginning. If you want to organize, if you say, hey, I want to, you know.
I'm at company A and I want to.
I want to organize my fellow employees. We want to form a union.
Yes. Such as, like, for example, the nurses at
St. Mary's of Nazareth.
And you want to form a union, you have to get card signed. And what does that card mean? Card means that I, Nurse A, would like to have an election.
Yes.
Doesn't mean I'm voting for the union. It just means I would like to have the National Labor Relations Board conduct an election of myself and my coworkers to form a union.
Yes.
All right. Really, really simple. Seems like it would be really, really simple.
And you need a majority of those.
No, you need 30%.
30% to express interest, but the election itself, you need a majority, right?
So you need a majority of those voting.
Of those voting.
Okay. Now, of course, in states like Florida, it's no longer a majority of those voting.
Right.
It's a majority of those in the bargaining unit. Everybody's got to get out and vote,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So, you know, so if there are 200 people there in the real world and 50 of them vote and 26 of them vote for the union, union's in.
Yes.
So, you know, and look, it's no different than the United States. We don't force people to vote. We don't say there can only be a president
exactly.
if more than 50% or if 100% of people vote. There, you know, everybody has to vote. Otherwise, there can be no president.
And that's the federal law.
Only of
those voting the election is a majority. So why are states allowed to supersede that?
So in the public sector.
Okay, got it.
Right. So they're doing it for teachers and public works guys. And also, by the way, the heroes, police,
exactly.
fire.
First responders.
Right. They're doing the same thing to them.
Yes.
So they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Shame on them and shame on Florida for doing such an egregious, like, just joke of an act. So cards get signed and a union comes in. And says, okay, you know, we're going to give those cards to the National Labor Relations Board.
Yeah.
The employer does not see the cards, Phil. The only person that sees the cards is you, generally, the organizer, for example, and the National Labor Relations Board. They look and make sure the signatures are accurate, make sure that person simply works there. They get a list of employees from the employer. It's called an Excelsior list, and they simply match it up and say, okay, you know, we have 200 nurses. You know, the union turned in more than 30% signatures, and we're going to have an election. So most unions will not go to an election with 30% of cards signed, right?
Because
you're going to have some drop-off, et cetera. I know where I come from, Local 150, we wouldn't go unless we had solid 85, 90% of cards signed. And it made sense, right? So anyway, so that happens.
That's
cards get signed and election is held. And let's just assume for the sake of argument that the nurses win, all right? So now what happens? Now the employer does a bunch of things. They usually say, oh, the vote was tainted.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this person wasn't eligible to vote. We fired these other people and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Do they ever say, we accept these results, let's bargain? I don't know. I don't know if I've ever heard of an employer doing that.
Rarely do they say, you know what? You won fair and square,
yes.
so we're going to play by the rules.
Yes.
No. I'm sorry. Yeah. We have a lot of more money than you, and we have a lot of lawyers, and so we're just going to gum up the works.
We're going to fight you tooth and nail on this.
Forever. Yeah. And so so they do.
That's the problem.
And we talk about, with
Starbucks, with Amazon, we hear about these big wins. They get organized. They win union elections. But both Starbucks and Amazon, no contracts.
No contracts.
No contracts.
No.
Therein lies the rub.
This is and once again
going on years now.
Years,
5 years.
Years.
5 years, years, I think. Yeah.
Starbucks has 1,000. And by the way, it's out of a goofy amount of stores.
Yeah.
Like lots and lots and lots. You know, and look, like I always say, kudos to them for trying. You got to figure out better leverage points. You know, you got to maybe, you know, hit them at their distribution centers, whatever. Hit them where it hurts. Hit them in the pocketbook, because winning the public sympathy is not working.
Right.
Or at least not for Starbucks.
You force them to the table by this bill.
That's right.
This is exactly what this bill does.
Yeah. So instead of employers being able to drag things out, and even if they say, you know what, we accept the election results, and we're going to sit at the bargain table and we're going to negotiate. And that's what Starbucks did, by the way, at first. They're like, yeah, sure. No worries. Come on in. Let's sit down.
Sure.
And then they would cancel a meeting. Mm-hmm. And then they wouldn't show up. And then they would show up without any documents. And then they'd show up unprepared. And then they would storm out. And then they would cancel another meeting. And then they'd say, you know, we're not available for 6 more months. And then they would say, oh, the National Labor Relations Board should be declared unconstitutional. I mean, just you name it. If they do it,
they come up with
to get to a contract.
Yeah, I saw something that said it's 465 days on average from the time there's a union election, successful union election,
yes,
and a contract being bargained.
Yes. And so, that's,
I mean, I think that would be good. I mean, 465 days is good.
It's like a year and change.
Exactly. In some cases, it's five years.
I've negotiated, I think, my longest one for first contract was somewhere in the ballpark of 4 years. 4 years of me, Ken Edwards, driving to Schiller Park.
Before he got a contract.
For 4 years to argue over a bulletin board. And I kept saying
How many times did you sit across a table from Schiller Park during those 4 years to
200,000. 200,000 times. And then, of course, we had to get involved in politics and, you name it, we did it.
Yeah.
And I would say to them, and I'll say to anybody else that's listening, and I'll say to stockholders, why are you spending this money? We just spent $400 bazillion arguing over the size of the bulletin board, where we could have had a contract in 3 days and you would have saved millions and millions and millions and billions and trillions of dollars on legal fees and HR director's time and, you know, all the stuff that goes with it and animosity and turnover. Just, it doesn't make sense to me economically, right?
The amount of money and resources they spend defending themselves.
And you can't even say, Phil, it's cost-benefit analysis.
No!
Because it's like, hey, I was asking for $1,000. You spent $10 million to fight.
Yeah.
It's going to take you 100 million years to get to make that money back. Well, it's not really about that. It's about control, right? We don't want to be told what to do. We want a direct relationship with our partners, right?
Oh, yeah.
Our family.
Our valued partners.
If they were so valued partners, you would have been treating them better. But listen, I want to get into what this bill does. And look, I know you heard us talk about it, and we're going to, I hate to say it, we're going to keep talking about it because it passed a major hurdle.
Yes.
And that's the House. Now it goes to the Senate, right?
Yep.
And so we're going to ask you, the listeners, the millions of listeners that we have. Was it hundreds of millions now?
Yeah, hundreds of millions.
Hundreds of millions, yeah.
Maybe a billion.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's not Elon Musk trillion, by
the way. Not yet.
Okay.
Getting there.
We're going to have an IPO, Phil.
We should.
The workers might
get IPO. In on the ground floor, listeners.
But we're going to ask you to do something, and that is, and we don't ask much on the workers' mic, but we're going to ask you now to put the pressure on your senators.
Yes.
Right? Each one of you has two senators. So look, we're going to come back and I'm going to finish talking about this, okay? Because it really is that important. So we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Workers' Mic. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Listen, I know we're beating this to a pulp, but we have to. We literally have to. And here's why. Here's what the Faster Labor Contract Act would do, okay?
Yeah.
Number one, when the union wins, the employer and the union must begin bargaining. Sitting at the table in 10 days.
In 10 days.
Not in a year, not in 2 years, not in 6 months, 10 days. So what does that do for the union? The union then would have to go, okay, I think I'm going to win this. And in order to get ready for the new FLCA, I need to have a contract proposal ready.
Right.
Right? So it forces that union to do front work. And I think that's a good thing, right? Not just going and winning the election, which I always say is the easy part, but winning the election and
force them to get their stuff together.
Get their stuff together and bring everybody in and go, hey, everybody, what would you like to see in a contract, right? What do you think about this? And it's not promising anything, right? Because employers will always say, oh, they promised a pension and this and that. No, we're simply getting our first proposal together, right? So
you mentioned FMCS. Who are they?
The Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service, right? Okay. So that's the company, the smallest federal agency that existed, and I say existed because Trump, of course, gutted it.
Okay.
Because God forbid, you know, you need somebody to come in and mediate.
Who could have seen that coming?
Yeah, of course. But if they don't have an agreement within 90 days, all right, and this is after certification, within 90 days, it goes to federal mediation. Now, that would, of course, sort of presuppose that maybe there are some federal mediators left. I think there are two around the country.
Right. I've heard that's the opposition's complaint here is, well, there's no one left because that office has been gutted to mediate.
Right.
So it's like, oh, that's the workers' problem? Sorry, workers. Yes. We can't provide you a living wage and benefits and a means to survive.
Because we fired the means to make that happen.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like
sorry, residents, we fired all the cops and crime is bad.
Yeah. Now you're on your own. Go get a gun in a billy club. It makes no sense. And workers need to know this.
Hey, Phil. Ken and Phil's mediation service.
Let's do it.
All right, there we go.
I'm in.
Congratulations. We just got
Do I need a law degree?
Oh, please.
I mean, you barely have one.
Do I have one? You actually don't need a law degree to be one. A lot of mediators that that I used to deal with were former like human resource directors, and some were former union business agents.
Okay,
not a ton were lawyers, surprisingly. So listen, if the mediation fails after 30 days, the dispute goes to binding arbitration. What does that mean? That means an arbitrator, meaning a judge, for all intents and purposes. A judge comes in and he makes the decision on the contract. It is no different than what police and fire do here in the state of Illinois.
Okay.
They don't have the right to strike. They gave up that right to strike years ago when the Illinois Public Labor Relations Act was passed in 1984. And Illinois said, look, we can't have you striking, right? Because it's a public safety. The firefighters had, you know, the Brotherhood of the Barrel. They actually struck before the act.
During the Jane Byrd administration, yes.
And so they said, okay, great. We won't strike, but we have to have a means to resolve our dispute. And so they got what's called, it's called interest arbitration. And so what the arbitrator does is he brings both sides in. And a lot of times an arbitrator, a good one, will mediate the dispute.
Yep.
If there's three items left on the table, he'll go, look, you really want me to write a decision here and you want to spend the next 4 days putting on a case and, you know, arguing and paying lawyers' fees and doing all this? Or do you want to just cut to the chase and see if we can mediate it?
Yeah.
A lot of good arbitrators will do that.
And they look at what the employees' cost of living, the wages and benefits at comparable companies.
Yes.
So everything is taken into consideration during this mediation. It's not one side or other. Like, of course, they're not going to say, oh, okay, yeah, you have to pay these employees $9 million to be a bargaining unit. Like, yeah, they're gonna look at all the factors for that given area.
You mean
for
like
that.
one hour of Elon Musk's salary?
Exactly. Yes.
You know he makes $3 million an hour.
$3 million an hour. It's up
when,
to
when he's sleeping. And now with the IPO, we got to calculate that.
That's insane. But point being that yes, it's a fair process. Everyone's
he looks at what's called internal comparables, external comparables, the market, and whatever else that the union will come in. But and he'll give certain things certain weight. But I'll tell you this right now. Here's why I think a bunch of CEOs are petrified is because their internal comparables will show the CEO making, you know, I think I read somewhere, right, like the CEO of Costco He makes like a little bit less than $1 million a year. The CEO of Sam's Club makes $35 million a year.
I think on average, it's now 2,000 times the average worker salary is what a CEO pulls in. 2,000 times.
But Phil, when the employer says, we can't afford it. Yeah, you can.
Yes, you can.
You can literally shave off 10% of the CEO's salary and probably pay your workers what they're asking for.
Exactly.
So anyway, it goes to arbitration. And the arbitrator says, okay, union, we're going to take your proposal and you win on wages. Management, we're going to take your proposal and you win on health insurance, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not a winner take all. It's by category, and whatever's left on the table is what he hears. And it gives the parties an incentive to not let an arbitrator make the decision for them. Now, you're going to hear from the Chamber of Commerce and all these right-wing think tanks like, oh, my God, you're taking away freedom of choice and, you know, this is bad for workers and, you know, it's terrible, 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 and we want workers to be able to make their own decisions and not have a third party come down and make that decision for them. And, you know, kind of like we don't want the Trump administration saying that you can't collectively bargain anymore.
Exactly.
It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
So I think it's a very, obviously, it's a positive. It is the biggest pro-labor piece of legislation that we have seen hit this mark, at least.
It's existential.
In years.
It really is for workers.
It's a game changer.
It's the only thing that workers have to fight against shareholder greed, and look, and you know, it's. I mean, in my opinion, it's greed, but obviously, shareholders. There's a responsibility from companies if someone invested in your company to maximize those
profits.
Their investments and their profits.
Yeah.
So. A lot of times that's at the worker's expense.
Yes.
And there's really nothing to protect against that. So this is opportunity it's for workers.
Self-help is to protect against that. Strikes, right?
Exactly.
You know, like SoFi Stadium, they were about to go on strike in L.A. because the World Cup was coming there. Oh, my gosh, we cannot have a strike right now. It'll cost us billions of dollars. And guess what? They caved in, right? But not a lot of those opportunities exist out there.
Correct.
Right, where you can literally leverage something the size of the World Cup.
Right. So you got to make a determination. Do you care about the shareholders or the workers?
That's right.
And why, if this is the way the law was intended, this is the way the law was written, it should act that way. And workers should have an opportunity. It's an election. It's fair. Why is it all of a sudden, why does the deck need to be stacked against workers? And why do they have really no other recourse when a company says, we're just going to cut your jobs because we got to maximize our profit for shareholders? What else can a worker do?
They got a strike.
Really?
And they have to withhold their labor.
I see no other recourse.
There's not a ton of recourse or get involved in politics, and that's what's happening here.
And that's what's getting scarier with AI. Now companies are like, okay, well, we can actually maximize our profits even more if we just get rid of workers altogether.
Yeah, well,
so now what?
That's backfiring.
So now what?
By the way, that's backfiring.
It is.
And we're going to talk about that.
Yes.
But here's the deal. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
So in the Senate, there's no discharge petition, meaning that they can't force the vote. So hopefully it doesn't die in the Senate, but there are other procedural methods to get it out there, all right? My thinking is this.
And it has a high-profile backer in Josh Hawley.
No question about
who's a conservative senator from Missouri, but
yes.
He sees a light, and he understands that, hey, this is, again, an existential threat to workers. We need to level the playing field for them.
And, Phil, there's like this like pro-worker Republican caucus, if you will, that's starting to emerge. And, you know, we've been talking about this for years. We used to call them lunch pail Republicans. But when you have, let's say the building trades, for example, right? Most building trades around the country vote Republican.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
Yes.
Right? Pro-gun, conservative, you know, et cetera. If you, the Republicans that are listening to this, vote against this or don't get it to a vote, you're point blank telling the unions that you don't care about them. And you don't care about the workers, and you don't want them to get ahead.
Yeah.
So here's my thinking on it, right? Senate, vote it. Put it up for a vote. You know, raise your hand, yay or nay. And if it passes, everybody is saying, doesn't matter if it passes, Ken, because President Trump is going to veto it. Well, guess what? If President Trump vetoes this bill, there couldn't be a clearer message to the worker bees of the world that it does not have
what
your best
interest.
About
them, right?
Yeah, that it doesn't have your best interest at heart.
Yes.
Right? And maybe he doesn't care because he's not running again, allegedly.
He's a lame duck, right? Yeah, supposedly. Yeah.
Supposedly.
Constitutionally he is, but yeah, well, does that matter anymore?
I don't know. Yeah. Are we still going to have a constitution,
yeah.
Phil?
Yeah.
So my thinking is, listeners, unions, AFL-CIO, this new Union Now thing, Change to Win, non-AFL unions, everybody, push in one direction, and that is get the Senate to vote, and not only to vote, but make it veto-proof.
Yes.
End of discussion. Vote, especially of you in areas that are heavily concentrated with Teamsters, with operators, with building trades, right? In Republican areas.
Yeah.
Right? Missouri, like you just said, Missouri's one of them. Right, heavily concentrated union towns, union places. Those are places that need to pick up the phone and call. Right, and go,
yeah.
Hey, Senator, you need to get this to the floor, and you need to vote yes on it. And we're watching.
And you'd be surprised, even some of those red states, how supportive they are of workers. The voters are.
Listen, we found that out during the Workers' Rights Amendment, and we'll say it again. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. If you strip out everything, take out the guns and the abortion and the the transgender rights and, everything else. You just strip all the
wedge issues.
Yeah, that's right. All the wedge issues. And you go right down the middle of the workers on the ballot, yay or nay. It's got to be yay.
Yeah.
And it's going to be yay.
Yes.
And so and we'll talk more about it. Hopefully there will pop up some easy ways to contact your legislators and, with a click of a button or a click of a phone call or maybe a letter writing campaign, things like that. We'll list those senators that need to be targeted.
Yes.
Because let's face it, there are going to be some senators that it doesn't matter what you tell them, they're voting no against this.
Yeah.
Right?
They're in the pocket of big business.
Yes.
We can see who their donors are, and they're not going to turn their backs to them.
I think that's right.
Yes.
Senator Walmart's not voting for
no,
this.
No.
Right?
Don't count on that one.
So, anyway, more to come on that. Sorry to harp on this for such a long time, but it really is one of the biggest things to happen to labor in a long time, and we need to capitalize on this momentum right now. So
and it's really just to enforce the law. No one's asking for any special treatment here. It's just please just to enforce the law as written.
Yeah, pass this law to help us get contracts.
Exactly.
Like to do what the National Labor Relations Act was actually designed to do, which is promote collective bargaining.
Correct.
Right?
Yes, that's all it's being asked here. It's just enforce what's already been written, what's already been in practice since, 1935. And
I like that, Phil. Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Pulled that one out of my hat.
But, you're very smart.
Thank you.
Especially when Ed's not around.
I try to be.
Yeah.
Wearing my Ed hat today.
You step it up. All right, listen, we're going to come back. We're going to wrap up, talk about a couple of quick things that are going on. Shout out to Listener of the Week right here on 720 WGN, the Workers' Mic.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Workers' Mic on 720 WGN. Phil Davidson here with Ken Edwards.
Yep.
We are wrapping up the show.
Yep.
And we do have a bit of good news.
Okay.
In the AI department, which we don't see very often. Normally, I'm the Debbie Downer in the room.
You certainly are.
That bums everyone out.
Yeah.
But there's some there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel here. A couple new studies have come out that are showing that companies are saying that AI is actually getting to be too expensive for them.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. And what they were, promised in terms of savings are just not being realized.
And
what they anticipated in savings
and
are not being
they're
realized.
And they're realizing, Phil, that replacing human workers is not in their best interest.
Correct.
And I'll give you the best example, the greatest thing I've ever seen, and that's Pizza Hut. Right, Pizza Hut, one of the franchisees of Pizza Hut. So I guess it's franchise, right? And so they got AI forced down their throat by corporate Pizza Hut.
Is that Yum Brands? Are they part of Pizza Hut?
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was called Operation Dragon Tail.
Okay.
That was going to be their AI thing. So they had to use it, no choice.
That sounds like a war operation.
And they lost 10% of their money.
Wow.
And so they were getting like 10% year-over-year profits in this particular franchise. I don't know where it is, whatever. But listen, it's pizza. Everybody likes pizza.
And this was an edict from corporate saying you must use this.
Dragon Tail.
In your drive-thrus. Yeah.
I think it was drive-thrus. I don't even know what it was. But either way, what did this franchisee do? They're suing the corporation, the parent company, for $100 million.
Good for them.
To say, you forced us this AI nonsense, and we lost money.
We're losing business.
And I'll tell you right now, I'll say the same thing. I go to a drive-thru, it has AI, I'm doing one of two things. I'm leaving, I will pull out right away, or I'll say, I don't want to talk to a human being. I refuse to talk with AI. If I get it on the phone, put me on with a human being.
We need to get that trending on social media.
Yeah.
Don't accept that, you know, that a company is going to try to cut costs by making you do customer service with a robot. That could go viral for sure.
I would hope so. I would hope people would realize that, like, come on, let's not build our own demise here. I'm not going to talk to a robot. And by the way, it's not efficient. And I don't get a lot of goodwill towards Wendy's when I have to talk to a robot. I'd rather talk to the person behind the counter that knows what I'm ordering. Would you like extra ketchup? Did you say extra mustard? No, I said extra ketchup. Extra what? Extra ketchup. I don't understand you. Extra ketchup. I'm sorry. Did you say extra mayonnaise? No. Extra, like a 45-second conversation about, I just want one extra pack of ketchup.
Here's your fillet of fish.
With extra ketchup. I ordered a hamburger. No, you did not.
Yeah, it's
Phil,
it's
didn't obscene. You say, tell me about the grocery store thing.
Oh, yeah. This was, they just had the AFL-CIO's convention, the national convention in Minneapolis last week, and one of the leaders from the FCW, which is the United Food and Commercial Workers.
Yes, yes.
He got up and talked about how they lost 13,000 members across 110 Kroger stores in Dallas. Or excuse me, they had 13,000 members. Now they're down to 9,000 members. They lost 3 million work hours.
Wow.
Because of this. But what they said is happening now in these stores, and I'm sure this is happening everywhere now, is stores are using AI to determine when shoppers are shopping in certain aisles in certain sections of a grocery store.
Yeah.
And then they're cutting hours for those employees from other apartments where customers aren't shopping. So if they find that, 5 o'clock, that means the shoppers are in the produce section. We don't need anybody else in the meat department right now. We can just cut their hours.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, yeah, but like, you know, that data exists now because of AI. So this is
that that little thing on the thing where it has the price on it?
That's
there's a tiny little camera in there.
That's the new thing now. Also, now they're doing dynamic pricing. Where, remember, it used to just be a static price for a cart of eggs at $2.99 or no.
I'm on my way to pick up the eggs, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, Mr. Edwards, I've actually checked your credit score. You can afford $3.
Oh, even when you're looking at them in the aisle, it's like, wait, that's at $4.99. No, it's actually $7.99 now. Yes, sorry.
For you, Ken.
It was $4.99 2 seconds ago, but you're at the wrong time now. So, yeah, that's a new world we live in. It's scary, but yeah, that's why we keep harping about, we got to protect workers. We got to protect jobs.
I'm going to bring my stepbrother, who has no credit whatsoever, to shop for me.
That's a good idea.
Thank you.
Give it to him.
All right, listen. We gotta
talk about our nurses in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Wrap up
go
the
ahead.
Show.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so there was, I think it was Thursday of this week, there was a one-day strike for St. Mary's.
Go get them.
Yeah, St. Mary's of Nazareth Hospital,
yep.
Ukrainian Village. There's, I believe, 400 nurses there looking for a contract. Six nurses were leading this organizing effort for their to form a union there, and
have they had an election yet?
No, that's coming up.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, sorry, the election is coming up, and these six nurses were summarily fired by the hospital, which is part of Prime Healthcare. I'm not familiar with them, but they were fired.
You mean Venture Health?
Exactly.
Venture Healthcare?
Yes. Right, yeah. Private equity healthcare. So they were fired. And, you know, of course, the hospital says, it had nothing to do with them attempting to organize.
Just right before the vote.
It just happens.
Yeah.
Just lucky that way. I don't know. Just coincidence.
Yeah.
So we want to stand in solidarity with them, and good luck at your election, and give these nurses their jobs back.
Absolutely. And come on, man, when you call yourself Jesus of Nazareth or Mary Hospital, whatever
St. Mary
it is,
Nazareth, right?
Okay, come on.
Combines both Jesus and Mary.
Yeah, yes. You can't union bus, can you?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's just like
we know how the Pope feels about unions.
That's exactly right.
Loves them.
What would the Pope think?
Exactly.
Don't make us bring the Pope back here.
We will.
Yeah. All right. Quick shout out to John H., listener of the week, along with Mario L., listener of the week. Both big supporters. I was talking, Ed and I picked up the phone, and we had to talk to Mario about something or other. And he's like, I feel like I'm in my car on a Sunday morning. Like, that's pretty funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love hearing that.
Yeah, so we appreciate it. Appreciate everybody's constant support for this show. It really, really means the world to us. And, you know, we won't let you down. We're gonna beat the AI, right?
We're doing it.
We're going to beat AI. What else are we going to do? We're going to pass the Faster Labor Contracts Act, just like we passed the Workers' Rights Amendment, Phil.
Amen.
Right?
And we're going to get all you listeners raises. Heard here first.
All right, listen. We will be back next week with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of the Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megant Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of the Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.